Caesarea Philippi. No reasonable, faithful Israelite or Jew would ever go to Caesarea Philippi. If a faithful Jew or Israelite went to Caesarea Philippi, they would have to undergo a period of pretty heavy purification or cleansing before they could rejoin their community. This was serious stuff. At the time of Jesus' ministry, Caesarea Philippi would have been equivalent to our Las Vegas today. It's located on Mount Hermon, where the juncture today of three countries, Syria, Lebanon, and Israel, all come together at Mount Hermon. It's about 20 miles north of the Sea of Galilee. It's known for a couple of things. One, it's the headwaters of the River Jordan, that then flows into the Sea of Galilee and then flows out again of the Sea of Galilee. It's also known for being one of the most pagan, most evil, most demonic places in all of Palestine. There was this massive cliff face there, and then there was a cave in the cliff face that went vertical immediately. And you would think it was bottomless. It was very, very deep. They called this cave the Gate of Hell. And the cave is still there in the side of that cliff, and it's a massive cliff face. A temple to the pagan god Pan covered the cave and became a place of human sacrifice. Today, the spot is known as Banyas. The name is based on Pan, the name of the Greek god. Human sacrifices were frequent there, including the killing of children and adults by tossing them into the cave. Caesarea Philippi was a dark, evil place. Last summer, Sister Olga, Sister Yedith, and I accompanied a group of seminarians on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and we went to Caesarea Philippi. And we learned that the scripture selection we normally hear, like today in the gospel reading, doesn't include the entire context. And what we learned there really opened up a lot of gospel understanding for us. For example, this episode of Jesus going up to Caesarea Philippi came at the end of Jesus' ministry. After 3 years of working with his apostles, mostly in the Galilee area. Immediately after this event at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus and the apostles headed south, where Jesus knew he had to go for his passion, his death, and his resurrection. So this was an important stop, going north out of the area where he'd been working, and then from Caesarea Philippi all the way directly to Jerusalem. He prophesies his passion and his death in the next verses that we don't get here in this particular selection. Think of this episode as the final exam. So Jesus had been with these disciples now, these apostles, for 3 years, and now the final exam. And he doesn't do it in Jerusalem, and he doesn't do it in Caesarea Philippi. He doesn't do it in Capernaum. He does it in Caesarea Philippi. Interesting choice of locations for the final exam for the apostles. He took them somewhere they'd never been because they could not go as good Jews, as good Israelites. They couldn't go there to Caesarea Philippi. They would never go there, right into the devil's lair. It's a very imposing place, and physically and spiritually, with the gate of hell right there. It's prominent. It's in your face. This massive, imposing cliff rock with the gate of hell. Now imagine Jesus and the 12 apostles arriving there And they're in front of this cliff, just right there, against this wall of stone. And Jesus is teaching them. And there's this demonic pagan temple to the god Pan, where so many lives had been lost. And this is where the final exam took place. Listen to the final exam question. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" Final exam question. The apostles offer various things that people say. This is an important question because it's in the near future. They're going to have to tell people who Jesus is to all the nations, to everybody they encounter. And then Jesus makes the question in the final exam even more personal. And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" At this point, Simon speaks up, as Jesus says, inspired by his heavenly Father, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Christ is the Greek translation for Messiah. We've always written and known about this episode and Jesus, Peter's comments. We've always known it as Peter's confession or his profession of faith in Jesus. At that point, Jesus changes Simon's name forever to Peter. And we know him today that way. We never say Saint Simon. We say Saint Peter. "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld will not prevail against it." Imagine those words. They're in front of a massive rock. You're the rock. And I'm going to build my church on this rock. The gates of hell will not prevail against this church that's founded on your faith. For the apostles, Jesus' words had even more meaning because of the place and its significance. Nothing could ever prevail against the church and Peter. And here we are 2,000 years later teaching the same thing. No superstition, no other religion, no other power, not even hell. And Jesus explains the meaning of Peter's leadership, saying, "I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now remember, every good Israelite grew up knowing scriptures, knowing the prophecies, particularly of Isaiah. And so these words had a particularly powerful impact upon the disciples who were brought up with these prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied regarding one of the few and more honorable kings of Israel, Eliakim. In this first reading, and he says, "I will place the keys of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open. I will fix him like a peg in a sure spot to a place of honor for his family." That peg in a sure spot holds everything else together, and it's the place that our Pope occupies, that Peter occupies. Jesus is also a son of David, as is Eliakim. All the sons of David had the keys of the kingdom and could give them forward. Jesus could give those keys, and he gave them to Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And with these keys, Peter will be able to open and close the kingdom. And Peter will be like a peg in a sure spot, the peg that holds all the other pieces together, as the Bishop of Rome does today. And Jesus uses that ancient prophecy from Isaiah to teach Peter's role, and they immediately got it because they knew their scripture. Now, Peter didn't quite get all the message, even as we see when Jesus begins to tell them that he had to go to Jerusalem and suffer and die. That'll be in the next parts, the next verses of this gospel. And this is when Jesus tells Peter, Peter rejects the idea that Jesus is going to have to die. And he says, and Jesus responds to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're an obstacle to me." Remember, they're right here in front of the gate of hell, a demonic place. And he's associating Peter with the gate of hell. "You are thinking not as God does, but as humans do." Now I want to share with you the rest of the graduation story. This part I did not know when we went to Israel. We know that Jesus' ministry was over, and he began his journey with the apostles south to Jerusalem and to his passion. His ministry was over. But there was one more stop, and I had never put these two events together until I was there at Caesarea Philippi. Listen to Matthew in the next immediately the next verses. Jesus says, "Amen, I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And then in the immediate verses after this, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. This is a different mountain on the way south. It's Mount Tabor. This was Jesus' transfiguration, the final step of the final exam. It's as if Jesus was saying when he was transfigured, there were no gods up in Caesarea Philippi. You want to see God? I'll show you God. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. You remember the transfiguration. All of you familiar with this reading. And Peter commented, "Lord, it's good for us to be here." And then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." They went down the mountain. They continued on to Jerusalem. The final exam was over.